This is Casual Babble.
You beautiful individual, welcome back to the show. This is BC Babbles, and you're enjoying another episode of Casual Babble, the Queen City's live-streamed morning show and podcast, coming to you from Ray City, USA. I hope you're doing well. It is Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. We are just a couple of days off from our next weekend break, and I hope thus far the week has been good to you, and if not, that's okay. That's what I'm here for, to help make sure that we are all in the proper groove for the rest of the week. Before we hop into it, do not forget to like, comment, and subscribe. If you're enjoying the show on YouTube, hit the bell. That way you're always notified about future content on the channel. If you're enjoying the show on Podbean, go ahead and give us a follow. And wherever you're enjoying the show, hop into the chat, give a hello, let me know where you're coming from, and let's go ahead and head on in. Today, really, there is no particular theme set up, no particular topic for discussion. We're just going to chat today because I think as much as a good structured talk is, every now and then you just gotta babble. Just gotta babble because sometimes there are just random things to get off your chest that you don't even realize you do need to get off your chest until they come out of your mouth. But for the most part, I do want to talk about, I'll mention today how I think I've been processing the idea of moving between careers and shifting a lot. And I'll be honest, a lot of times when I'm looking into a new opportunity, regardless of the job opportunity that it is, I do get nervous because there are definitely less than ideal time ranges that I've had with recent and previous positions, mostly because personally, and it's not because I'm bad at a job, it's not because I don't have good skills or that I don't know how to engage and be a part of a team. But for me, you know, when I realize that a position that I've taken up isn't going to be able to provide the kind of advancement that I personally want to see in my future career, the kind of development that I am hoping to experience so that I am, you know, I know that where I'm at is where I'm supposed to be, and I can feasibly invest a lot of time into where I am, I gotta move on. I gotta find a new position, a new opportunity, and a new chance to really see if I can jettison my career into a proper direction. You know, and I think that's not a whole lot to ask for when it comes to a company that especially, you know, presents its job openings as promising career stepping stones, especially if that company is established, if it's a recognizable brand. And for a lot of times, you know, you get in there and that's what you get to experience. But there are times where you get in there and unfortunately, that's not what you get to experience. And you're just kind of like, oh, well, I suppose that I'll move on, you know. And never feel bad about that. Never feel bad about recognizing when an area or environment that you're in is not going to offer you the kind of developmental and progressive opportunities that really we all should be able to acquire at this point. And because not only do we want to be able to say that we can live off of the jobs that we have, but we want to be able to find and feel that we have some kind of creative outlet, that we're feeling like we're going somewhere, and that we feel like there's a direction, that we have momentum, and that we're not stagnant. Stagnation is the worst feeling to experience, especially when you're a young professional and you might be greener, but you still want to move. You still want to feel like that you have some kind of, like I said, momentum, and feeling like you're stagnant, by which I mean to say that by feeling like you have ceased movement, that you're no longer seeing that momentum, that you're no longer experiencing that development, is like the worst thing to feel. And that's what prompts people to look for something new. Nothing wrong with it, in my opinion. I think that everyone, again, should feel like they have that motion. But with Wednesday, you know, Wednesday, if you made it to Wednesday And by made it, I mean like you're still emotionally intact, you're still mentally intact, and you are like, you know what, I can make it through the next 2 days. Granted, I still got to get through today, still got to get through Wednesday. But regardless, if you made it here, I'm happy for you. And if you're just barely making it here today, I want to say I'm here for you. And I am here to help you out as best as absolutely possible. But I understand that Monday and Tuesdays, I think for a lot of people, and it used to be for me as well, Mondays and Tuesdays, depending on the workload of Mondays, was the put out the fire day. Don't you hate when fires have to happen over the weekend, right? You know, why can't they happen during the week when I'm focused on things, when I'm actually got my hands on things, and I can maybe make sure the fire doesn't become a fire and doesn't become anything more than a smolder? You know what I'm saying? But Monday tends to be the put out the fire day, which is crazy. You know, I think everything and everyone should take the weekend for what it is, which is the 2 days of rest. Granted, in Europe, the weekend is like 4 days long. But we're here in America, so we don't get that comfort. Now, I will say a lot of things that have, but aside from the many things that have kind of, I found trifling and challenging in past positions, I will say I have been able to find silver linings in each situation. Not the toxic part of those situations, but you know, the fact that I was able to acquire experiences and moments where, like, you know what, I figured something out. You know, I had this challenge come my way, and I was able to find a resolve for a resolution to make sure that it worked out, and that ultimately the job was able to get done. Always feel good about that. Now, yesterday and the day before was, I believe, was it Mental Health Awareness Day? Let me double check. Mental Health Day. And we had a couple submissions yesterday that kind of brought in the subject of mental health in the workplace. And one of the stories that kind of sticks to me is the story about the person asking, how do you unplug? How do you go into or turn off work mode, right? When you're a young professional, when you're an entrepreneur, we have such a drive, right? We want to constantly be thinking of how, not only when we're going to take the next step, but the ways in which we're going to prepare for the next step and how we're going to actually initiate the next step. And that's not just, you know, whether or not it's moving on to a new position, but it's also in the middle of a job, like when you're in the middle of the time frame in which you are a part of a company. And you're wanting to make sure that not only the things that you did today set up a good track for the rest of the day, and that leads through until tomorrow morning where you can again have your hands on the wheel once more. And because of that, we have such a hard time unplugging, and as a result we end up putting way too much of our emotional and mental time into moments of work that aren't even moments of work. Like, we go home, we've decompressed for the most part, but you know, 8 and 9 o'clock at night, we still find ourselves contemplating, well, did I do that project the right way? Did I organize the project the right way? Will I be able to, organize everything well enough early enough tomorrow so that tomorrow it doesn't run so crazy? Now, certain positions definitely kind of call on you to be mentally active 24/7, like especially if you're overseeing digital content or social media for a company or a particular brand. That kind of makes sense. But the one thing I want you to always keep in mind, because unless this is explicitly stated by your supervisor or manager, you're not getting compensated for those hours outside of work if you choose to still work, right? You know, unless you can clock them. In which case, do what you want. But even still, even if that is the case for you, still be sure to find moments where you're like, you really have to convince yourself during those off hours that you don't have to care. You really got to do that, because ultimately, you know, the more you spend those hours, especially if they're non-compensated hours, working anyway, then eventually you're just going to run down. and you're not going to have anything left, you know, and if you're trying to stay and keep at a pace or keep at an energy where you can definitely attract a development in the current company that you're in, or if you're looking for a new opportunity, if you're run down, you know, how much use are you going to be for wherever you're going to be at, right? So you have to learn to not care. And the fact that for the most part, I think for most positions, the fact that you're not compensated for those extra hours that you spend mentally working should be one of the big points to help you convince yourself to take moments and just not care. Another thing is the idea that, you know, one of my experiences, and this is when I was overseeing communications for this nonprofit construction company not too far from where I live. And I told them going in, I'm not a big sports person. I don't follow a whole bunch of sports profiles on really any social media platform. And honestly, unless it has anything to do with Super Bowl halftime, I'm not going to know anything. Or maybe unless it involves Cristiano Ronaldo, but that's for a whole other reason. And so I was overseeing communications for this position, and something happened over the weekend where I'm not being compensated for concerning myself about work. And it was that someone associated with an NFL team, I believe, not one of the players, not one of the known players, but someone known well enough and associated with one of the teams. It's been a couple of years, but they gave the company a shout out. And again, I don't follow this person. I had no idea who he was. And I had no idea this occurred, and no one reached out to me during the weekend. But when I got to Monday, boy, did I hear it. Boy, did I hear it. I got reamed for not taking that opportunity to share that shout out, and got absolutely reamed for it. And it's those reactions from management that can definitely kind of traumatize you a bit about, you know, wanting to let go of work for the weekend and convince you subconsciously to then never forget about work. And that's something management and people who have those management styles really need to consider for themselves. Like, look, I'm not working, I'm not compensated. So yeah, and here's the thing, I'm not the only one with access to these social platforms, right? I am the more active overseer, but I have a supervisor who also has access to those things and didn't do anything about it. And so the other issue I had with me coming in on Monday and being yelled at for not sharing the social post that I had no idea occurred is that it's not like there wasn't a way for it to be handled. And one of the things that I was told when I got in on Monday and I was being reamed for missing this was that you were hired because you're a millennial and you guys are on social media all the time. And that's when I had to reiterate, yeah, I'm on social media a lot, but as I also discussed with you and with my supervisor, I don't follow any sports people. I don't know. I had no idea this happened. So no, I'm not going to see this happen on a Saturday when I'm 100% not focusing on work because you're not paying me to be focused on work on a Saturday. And share it. And it happens. And I mean, the company's doing very well now, more so than it was before. So it's not like they missed a massive opportunity anyway. They still grew despite that. But yeah, management has moments where they kind of traumatize us into not allowing us to trust ourselves to take our minds off of work. And that is horrible for our mental health. If you've been with me for a little while, and I've shared this story many times, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing at all. But you know the story about how I wasn't scheduled for a morning and I was woken up by my supervisor and reamed because of a mistake that she made. And I'll just give you like the quick bits. Essentially, I was still part time for a big company and I was not scheduled for the morning of a particular day. So I didn't wake up. Got woken up by my supervisor, got reamed because I was apparently supposed to be in the office, which I was not. No one had a schedule stating that I was supposed to be in. And it's because she made a schedule that would have said that had she actually sent it out, which she did not do. And despite the fact that I know consciously that that was 100% her fault, and that based on the vernacular in which I was woken up that morning, I should have absolutely been given a really honest apology. She didn't give me nothing. She didn't give me no apology whatsoever. She owed me an apology, and she still owes me an apology, Linda. But despite knowing that 100% that was her fault, unconsciously, there was actually a lot of trauma in that. There was a lot of negativity that really kind of burned its way into my mind. As a result of that singular incident, for years after that, I couldn't trust that I set my alarm at the right time or that I ever set an alarm, period. I had years of this nightly, what's it called? I hate that when I forget words like this, but when you can't help but do something, this compulsive thing, there we go. So I had this OCD thing that occurred as a result of this trauma where every single night before a work day, I have my phones on my alarm on my phone and on this, Alexa, clock that I have. So I got two alarms, but because of this moment that I experienced with this horrible boss that I had this new OCD thing again, every single night prior to a work day where I would literally back and forth, pick up my phone, open it, check the alarm, make sure it's on, put my phone back down, turn it off. I'd roll over, then roll back. Do the same thing. Pick up my phone, open it up, check the alarm, put it down. Roll back forward. Pick my phone up, check the alarm, turn it off, put it down. And I would do this upwards of 12 to 15 times every single night. Because this idiot boss that I had messed up and thought she had the gall, the gumption, the audacity to blow up on me because she made an idiotic mistake. And I still never got no apology for it. But for years, even after I left the company, and from that company, I actually moved into the nonprofit construction company, heading their digital communications. And I was still doing that every night before workday. This OCD thing that I had traumatically developed because of that incident. Managers and supervisors who sometimes have very oblivious moments, you gotta recognize that, one, if you're like that boss that I had, and you cannot handle the stress load of your job, do not allow that to convince you that it's ever okay to take that frustration that you should be able to handle because it's your damn job and take it out on a subordinate. Don't ever do that, because you don't know what that intensely negative interaction is going to mentally cause them to develop. In my case, thankfully, it was nothing more than this obsessive overchecking of my alarms for no reason. It wasn't even my fault. And that was one of the things that took me a long time to unconsciously realize. It wasn't my fault. But because I was greener and I gave a shit about what she thought, I thought it was unconsciously my fault, and I couldn't let go of that for the longest time. Nowadays, I don't give two shits about her. If I bumped into her on the street, I'd let her have it. But at the time, I didn't know that. And on top of, not only was it this obsessive compulsive thing, but it was low-key a self-distrust thing that I had developed because of this idiot. And that was never worth it. Ever worth it. So if you're in a similar position, don't let that happen to you. Do not allow some idiot boss who clearly does not know how to handle the stress, the frustration of their position, come barreling down on you, especially when you're not the one who made the mistake. And this leads into so many other things, like the last show we had talked about the kind of training you should get. This is the same boss who decided to only train me on one aspect of the operations in her department, but then 2 weeks into my part-time employment with her, have me cover another full-timer who works the other half of the operations in her department. Like, who thinks that's a smart thing to do? I was barely trained. So the position I oversaw when this full-timer was out was a traffic anchor. So in that department, the one half of the people wrote reports about traffic. The other half anchored the traffic. They pre-recorded tracks and sent them out to radio stations. And I was trained as a producer who wrote the reports. That's what I knew how to do. I'd only done two vocal breaks because a couple of guys who were coming in the morning stay for the midday for a little bit, and they handle, like, at most between the span of 3 hours, like four breaks. That is what they do. But a full-time anchor has like 7 to 8 breaks every half hour. I wasn't trained on that. On top of the fact that the interface that they have to use to send these reports to transmitters to different markets, different radio stations, each radio station has its own intro, its own outro, its own market, and therefore particular sets of vocabulary that I have to learn for each market. And you think I have that in 2 weeks after not being trained at all? No, honey, you're stupid. You are 100% stupid. That was one of the worst things to do. And of course, you put somebody in that position and they're going to have mistakes because they're not trained. And I wasn't trained by anybody who really had the bandwidth to train me. But you blame me for it. Yeah, so sometimes out the gate, out of college, or just moving on from any job you had in high school, you realize some bosses are not supposed to be there no more. And sometimes it takes way too long to get them out. Before we hop into this morning's submissions, if you're wondering how you can submit your own story, question, or office gossip for the Casual Babble Show for discussion, I've got two ways for you to do just that. Head on over to Reddit. We have our own community called Talk Office Gossip. It is the official Casual Babble community. Submit your story, question, or office gossip there. Or head on over to casualbabble.com. I'm going to go ahead and put these different links in the bio here, or in the chat. And if you're in the chat, go ahead and hop on and submit. So there we go there. And over here. Boom, boom. Check the chat. Those two links are going to be in there for you to use. Again, the other way is to go to casualbabble.com. There's a page called Submit Your Story. Username, be anonymous, totally your call. Submit your story there. My admin will hop on both of those platforms and let you know when your submission is going to be used for the next episode of Casual Babble. And if you're curious, the ones who are not used for the show will be included in the monthly Casual Babble newsletter, which comes out monthly. The next one does come out next week. So be sure you sign up for that newsletter. The sign up form is on the homepage of casualbabble.com. And it's right underneath the main picture. Put your email in there and be sure you're on that mailing list. Again, the two ways to submit your stories, questions, or office gossip: Reddit, check out the community called Talk Office Gossip, or on casualbabble.com, the page called Submit Your Story. All right, so for this morning's first submission, let's see here. Let's see. Question is, can I negotiate salary with a potential employer? Firstly, of course, but let's go into the little story here. I'm being offered a position in a company, but it is on the lower end of what I'm expecting. Is that okay to negotiate a higher salary? And if so, what is the best way to do it? So a lot of companies these days will post a range, an offer range for a potential starting rate. I would double check to see if they have posted a range anywhere, whether or not it's Indeed or LinkedIn or some other job posting site. And if that range happens to at its top end be higher than what you're hoping for, you know, mention based on your research. It's always good to say based on my research, this would be a good salary, and then pitch that. And even if they don't have that range, you can still say, and you can actually look up positions, like look up that position and salary. Typically you'll get websites like Glassdoor that pop up, and hopefully Glassdoor has some kind of data that helps provide you an ideal or median salary for that position, maybe even with that company in that market, and that'll give you an idea of the kind of salary you're looking for. But if they ask you the question, you know, what is your salary requirements, what are you looking to be paid, you can just say I'd say that this number would be ideal, but I'm open to negotiations. It's totally your call whether or not you want to be just kind of really, really steadfast in that particular number, but you can always say you're up to negotiations and go ahead and pitch a little bit higher, especially if you can pull up, like, again, like Glassdoor, and if they have a suggestion for a salary that works better for you. But yes, you can always negotiate, you know, unless they straight up tell you that this number is the hardcore salary to be offered. But again, you're totally your call, and make sure you dance this conversation as best you can. And I think one way to make sure that you can kind of dance around this negotiation is to make sure that you're matching the energy of the individuals that you're talking to. But if they tell you what the intended salary is, you can always say something to the effect of, okay, I need caffeine, but you can always say, I understand. Based on research, this was a salary I was going to inquire. Is there any way we can have a median? Can we meet halfway with these two numbers? And that's just a question. There's no issue there. So I would say go either of those routes. Do some research before, and if they ask you, give them your preference, or if they tell you what it is, say, I understand, say thank you. Based on my research, this also seems like it could be a potential salary for this position in this market. Is there a way that we can come to some kind of middle ground with these numbers? Super simple. Next submission. Ha ha ha. Can my current employer find out if I have accepted another position if I don't tell them? That's really kind of situational. Based on the company, the application process will ask you, well, they all ask you about your previous and current positions. And a lot of them will also ask if they're allowed or if you'd prefer for them to reach out to those employers. And you can answer that question as you prefer. Or if they have a reference and they happen to see anyway that you've had this position, you're currently working there, they could call and get an idea of, you know, the kind of employee you are. It's situational. But let me hop into the story here. Sorry. Okay, so my current employer recently notified us that we are being laid off in November due to our clients not renewing their contract with the company. They are offering a retention bonus for those of us who decide to stay through the contract end date in November, but they have placed eligibility requirements on that retention bonus. One of those requirements is that we cannot accept another job offer until after our employment has been terminated. So here's my question. I obviously have been job hunting and just accepted a new position with another company. They are willing to work with me on my start date so that I am able to work through the contract ended with my current employer. If I just don't tell my current employer that I've accepted another offer, can they still find out and revoke my retention bonus? That's going to be a little hard there. The only thing that concerns me is that the new company is completing a background check as part of their pre-employment process, and I'm worried that they will contact my current employer and they will find out that way. Am I overthinking this? I obviously don't want to keep working for my current employer, understandable, if they aren't going to pay me the retention bonus. So I don't know what to tell the new employer with regard to my start date. Thanks in advance for your input. I will say, if possible, one of the first things I thought while reading that is if you can ask your new employer who you just accepted the job offer from, if you can start earlier, I would definitely do that. Because if they can start you off earlier, then who cares about your current employer? I think for your current employer to ask for that kind of retention requirement is idiotic. Whatever they did, lost the contract with their client. That's not on you. So the idea that they think that they should force you to, my honest question to this employer that you're leaving is, what exactly was your plan to be with these employees when they're terminated anyway and they got nothing lined up? What sense does that make? Because clearly you're not going to be keeping them after the end date of that contract anyway. So where's the logic in that? So my initial thought is, if you can ask your new employer to start you early, or if you can like start some kind of training period, and if their training period would be compensated, do that. You know, just leave this current employer. They lost the contract, you didn't lose the contract, and they told you that you're going to be terminated anyway. So what sense does it make to force an employee to stay around until their termination, which is going to happen definitively, and they have nothing else lined up? That's an idiotic way to go about it. So personally, I'd say they might find out. But again, first things first, see if you can start at your new company earlier. I don't think there should be an issue there. That's really, really weird. Can I get reprimanded for not meeting the standards for a job I didn't want, nor am I qualified for? That's an odd question. Let's continue. During my interview with my current job, they told me that some of my duties would be, they told me what some of my duties would be, which included user testing and technical writing. They already had my resume, and I gave them examples of my web design work and more. The minimum qualifications didn't require any programming, coding, etc. During the first week, I wasn't really told about my duties, but soon realized they placed me in a web development position, front end to be specific. I spoke to my supervisor, and she was confused with my placement too, since she wasn't included in the interview process to ask any technical questions. Basically, they confused web design with web development, even though they planned on placing me in a technical writing position, but when they heard web design, they decided I'd be best in the production area, even though my skills were listed on my resume. We love people who can't handle the interview process properly. And just in case anyone's wondering, web design and web development are not the same thing. So be very wary of that. When they realized what happened, they offered me a vacancy in a different position doing something I wasn't interested in nor physically could do. Then they told me they'd book classes for me to learn programming. A few weeks later, they said the classes weren't in the budget, so I tried learning from Google, YouTube, and other free resources. I just received my 6-month performance review and failed. Don't like that. I don't like that. Everything I was given that I could do wasn't up to par due to lack of instructions and details, even though I asked multiple times in person, email, and Teams. I did what I could with what I had. My supervisor said to get used to it because that's how they unfortunately operate there. Well, the operations suck, and y'all are idiots. I added comments in my PR to make sure it was documented and it wasn't the position I applied for and was not qualified for the position I was placed in. I've been applying for new jobs, but I also don't want to get fired or written up for insubordination for not grasping JavaScript because of someone else's mistake. Advice, get a new job. It sounds like whatever company you work for, even though it seems like maybe the individual overseeing web development would have had the smarts to help coordinate her team better. Otherwise, it sounds like people who interviewed you are a bunch of idiots. I'd kind of like to know which company this was. It's absolutely idiotic that they don't even understand which skills they're looking for and placed you somewhere you weren't supposed to be. And then they had the audacity, they had the gumption to acquire the goal, to enlist and purchase the audacity to fail you because they messed up. Bosses who don't know how to run their stuff. We love that. We really do love that here. Get a new job. Get a new job. And if they have the gall, like, honestly, take all of this information and whatever is documented and save it. Save it. Because there is no way that they, like, please tell me who this was. Please tell me who this was, because I would like to, I'm going to pretend to be like a news anchor or some kind of reporter, be like, hey, I heard you messed up like this. I heard y'all were stupid like this. Comments, please, because the math here is not mathin' whatsoever. Idiotic. So advice is get a new job. Get out of there. And make sure that the next people you talk to know what web design is. Or if they ask you, obviously you're probably going to be have been here pretty only 6 months, which is not very long. If they inquire, and this is why I'm saying take everything that's documentable with you. So, because in the future, you'll likely get a question of why you were here for such a short period of time. And if you're able to prove that the individuals who hired you didn't know what they were looking for and they misplaced you, that'll help you out. Because you know what you can do. You know the difference between web design and web development. They didn't. That's on them. Please tell me who this was. I really want to know who this was. Yeah, sometimes certain people should not be allowed to oversee certain operations. Just saying. All right. This next one is titled. Accidentally took keys home from a trial shift. Don't know what to do. I had my very first trial shift. It was at an arcade and I got given a key. However, after the shift, I forgot I had the keys. Do I know? Okay, some misspellings here. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll start over. Had my very first trial shift. It was at an arcade and I got given a key. However, after the shift, I forgot I had the key and now I have it at home. I sent an email and got no reply. I'm going back in on Saturday with the paperwork to actually have the job. I also don't know if I left too early and it's been 3 days. Well, whether or not you left too early seems kind of irrelevant. You seem to be more focused on, you know, the fact that you brought home a key you weren't supposed to bring home. Do you have to wait until Saturday to go in? Like, I would say call them, you know. Email is one thing, but, you know, calling is still a very available form of communication these days. Or if they use anything else like Teams or Slack for, like, day-to-day inter-office communications, that could work. Yeah, I think just, you know, reach out to them or just go in and be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I brought this home by mistake. Here it is. I will see you on Saturday. Super simple fix there. Yeah, but don't just leave it up to an email, especially if you're concerned that bringing home keys could get you in trouble. Don't leave it to an email, especially if it's been 3 days. You don't want that window of time to get much bigger, because if it is a bigger concern than what we currently think, the fact that you only left it at one email and it's been 3 days will not reflect super positively and we want to make sure that's taken care of. All right, next one. My boss is making me feel incredibly guilty about resigning. I started a new job recently at a small practice where I had my own caseload. However, my mental health has taken quite a knock because the working conditions are quite difficult. I decided to leave after my probation period, which ends at the end of this month. I gave my full 2 months notice that I will be leaving. I know it's an awkward time of year, but I can't handle it here. My anxiety is debilitating. However, my boss can't find a replacement, and all I'm hearing now is what a bad situation I've put her in and what a financial cost it's going to be to the practice and to her reputation. Her reputation is her problem, first and foremost. She wants me to stay until the end of the year, but I genuinely feel like the anxiety will make me sick by then. Yeah, don't let that happen. Do not let that happen. Do I wait it out or do I keep my boundaries and leave at the agreed termination date? If you got something else lined up, and otherwise you'll be good to go until you have something lined up after that termination date, leave. Her reputation or any boss's reputation is their responsibility. It's not yours. So that shouldn't even be a factor of conversation. If you're still in your trial period and you're the environment you're in doesn't have you feeling like you can handle being there a long time, that is not your fault either. That's also the fault of the supervisor. Depending on what it was specifically that caused you to feel that this wasn't the best place for you, I'd say that, you know, it was a situation where an opportunity that you wanted to take just kind of resulted in a culture clash, and that's not your fault. But yeah, if you're going to be good after that termination date, and you are better yet, if you have something else lined up, leave, and don't let anyone's concern about their problems become your problems because they're not your problems. So next submission, how to tell your boss you don't want to work with somebody. I am not happy with my colleague's behavior and would like to not work with him anymore. How do I tell my manager this? So, I mean, depending on what it is, you know, if the colleague's behavior is more kind of like maybe something simple, like less than professional, and maybe it's causing you to not be able to be as efficient with your work. And, you know, at that point, I just be like, can you talk to your coworker and be like, hey, dude, let's try to be more efficient here. You know, I'm trying to make sure that this is done right. Otherwise, you know, let's switch or something like that. But if it's upwards of something like where the employee, the colleague's behavior is more harassment oriented, and otherwise just incredibly, not malignant, but it's like, it's not something conducive to your efficiency and really even the work environment, I would just be honest with your boss. I mean, if your boss is someone you can trust and you can be honest about, just be like, hey, look, this dude that you have me working with right now, I don't see me being able to find a solution to this less than efficient work relationship. I'm doing what I can, and make sure that you're doing what you can. I am doing what I can, but I cannot and will not carry the weight of two people here just to get work done. Is it possible for you to have me line up with another individual who can be more responsible? Because at this point, I'm not going to be as efficient, and it's not my fault. Just go with it like that. If they have someone in the environment that just cannot do their job, that person shouldn't be there. It's really that simple. Let's see here. Can you get fired for using the inspect tool to change text or images on a company website? Firstly, didn't know that you could use the inspect tool to do that. I've used the inspect tool myself just to kind of see what was present on a page. And I believe I've tried to alter the code there before, but it wouldn't let me. So I'm surprised this can be done. I was pulled into a meeting today by my area manager because a staff member reported me for using the inspect tool to change the company logo and text on our website. It was taken very seriously as I defaced company property, but was left clueless about the repercussions, about what the repercussions would be, as they need to investigate further. Do you think I might lose my job? So certain elements of a company's presence should not be lightly messed with. I don't know what you changed their logo to, but you have to remember that a logo for a company, that is, there's a lot of legal activity that involves a logo. And it's such a thing, like, where, like, just consider it like this. Even changing the color of a logo is a big legal move for a company. So I don't know what you switched the company's logo out to, but if you switched that with something else entirely, that can be a big thing. That's an alteration to the company's brand awareness, which is big. Again, I'm surprised that the inspect tool allowed you to do that. I didn't think it could. I thought you'd have to go into the back end and change those things. And again, I'm not sure what you changed your company's text to as well as the logo. I mean, typically if you're in a position where you would be looking to have something on their website changed, they probably have an IT or some kind of web oversight department who can handle that for you. I can't tell if this was maybe a prank, a very ill-advised prank. Could you lose your job? It depends on the company, how big they are, and how replaceable they view you as. I would say don't ever nonchalantly use the inspect tool to change a company's logo or their website text. It seems to me like this may have been a prank or you wanted to play a joke. I really don't know what the context here is. This could be pretty big. Termination could definitely be on the table. Modifying a logo is a big, big thing because it is that company's, not only is it that company's brand, their recognition, but a lot of legal activity went into securing that visual representation for them specifically. Like, you have to remember, like, logos are acquired in such a way where no other company can use it. And to go and change that nonchalantly, and it sounds like this was done nonchalantly, is a very bad thing to do. So it just depends on what it was done with. I wouldn't do that. If you keep your job here, don't do that again. If you were doing it for a particular work-oriented purpose, see if there's someone who oversees that website. Even if they outsource it to like a web development, web design company, feed it through the tube and have that changed. But if this was a prank, dude, I'd be surprised if you kept the job, to be very honest. Love a good sneeze in the middle of a show. All right, next submission. Let's see here. All right, here. Let's try this. Aha. I, a 23-year-old grown man. You're not grown at 23, but okay. You cried at work today. Let's talk about it. Just started a new job last week. I had a morning Zoom call with the whole team today, and the team leader said the clients are going to look at my Facebook page and that I can't post graphic things. I'm Ukrainian, so because of the strikes throughout the whole country yesterday, I posted many things on my story, including the picture of two women standing with dirty faces after a strike on Kyiv. Let's see here. Crystal says, I'm about to submit. This looks fun. Do it, Crystal. Thank you so much for joining in. Let's see. He says, I can support Ukraine, but do so in a less graphic way. I apologized and said that yesterday was a very rough day and my aunt actually was hit by one of the blasts. I'm so sorry for you. That's horrible. Let's see. She was walking to work and one of the explosions threw her to the ground. She's alive, but beat up pretty badly. So yesterday I was really emotional, so I made many posts about the attacks. And after that, I started losing it a bit and started crying. I immediately turned off the camera and muted myself. The whole team was supportive. I'm quite an emotional person, but I never show it. No matter how horrible I feel, I lost it, but I lost it this time. I know that wow. I know that the team is understanding, and the leader and coworker called me afterwards. I apologized to the leader and said it wasn't related to his criticism, but rather just because of a really crappy and hard couple of days. Totally understand. But I'm worried I kind of messed up my reputation. But how do I recover from crying in front of my whole team? A team I just started working on. I'm worried of being seen as fragile or immature. Here's the thing. You're in Ukraine. Ukraine is not in a good situation right now. And I think anyone with half a brain, half a heart has the capacity to realize that. And if you explain to them that this was your family member who was hit by one of the blasts, that's not a small thing, right? This is a very big thing. Honestly, the fact that you're working right now is a little surprising to me. Like, if I was, I don't know, like, what, how I would be able to operate in Ukraine, honestly. But if that was the case, it was a close family member of mine, and they were directly impacted by one of these blasts, I'm not sure I'm going to be working, because I'm going to be trying to make sure that she's okay. I'm going to be spending time with her. Especially if she was beat up. She's still alive, but she was beat up a bit. Like, come on. Like, I'm surprised you're working right now. I don't think you should worry about your reputation. Again, you're in a tough area of the world right now with the war going on. So, chin up, man. You know, I think what is also important here is that you allowed yourself to be vulnerable for a moment. You didn't intend to, but I don't think your team's going to take it negatively that you had a vulnerable moment. And of course, I think you guys were discussing that was the topic of your Zoom call. And that I'm not sure what role the clients play into it. I mean, if I were a client, I don't think I would care that the company that is representing me or providing me services happens to have an individual who is from the Ukraine. I don't think I'd care. I wouldn't worry about it, dude. You know, chin up, you're good. You're only 23. For American terms, I wouldn't say that's grown, but I get what you're saying. You're good, man. I wouldn't worry about it. Your reputation's fine. At the very least, your team has gotten to know you a lot better, and that can only be a positive thing. So don't worry about it. So you got time for one more submission this morning. Let's see here. Did I do this one yesterday? I think I've read it, but I don't think we did it. So I'll do it here. My last one for today. I need help thinking of a lie. Hi, I messed up and sent someone my work schedule for an interview, and it was misunderstood as my availability. I'm not sure how that works. They scheduled me for the first hour of when I'd be working, so I'm thinking if I leave myself at least a 2-hour gap, it should be okay. I just can't think of a way to explain my situation where they don't know what I'm doing. So my thoughts on this immediately are just like, just call the people that you sent your schedule to and reschedule your interview. I'm not sure how they took your work schedule and misconstrued it as your availability. I feel like if you send somebody your work schedule, I would think to myself, if I wasn't explicitly aware that it was your work schedule, I would think to myself, wow. Oh, hey, Crystal, thank you so much for subscribing. I really appreciate it. Welcome. But honestly, if I was to receive a document and I wasn't sure if it was a work schedule, I'd probably think to myself, wow, for a person who's employed, he has a lot of availability during the day. Or she has a lot of availability during the day. Maybe I should confirm if this is availability or a work schedule. And maybe you would have gotten scheduled for a proper time. Yeah, I would just say don't think of a weird lie to get out of work. Just call the company and reschedule and clarify, hey, what I sent was my schedule for my current job, not my availability. I apologize if there was confusion on some end. Hey, Crystal, I happily would read a whole bunch more, but we're actually towards the end of the show this morning. We end at 8 o'clock, but we are going to be back on Friday at 8 or 7 a.m. Eastern time, so be sure to catch us then. But yeah, dude, for the submission, do not come up with a crazy lie. Just clarify that what you sent was your work schedule, not your availability, and change the interview time. Like, that seems for me... to be the simplest option here. All right, thank you so much for joining me this morning for Casual Babble. Do not forget the schedule for the show is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 o'clock. We had a special episode yesterday, so we will see you again on Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern time. And if you want to support the channel, check out the link tree, which can be seen in any of my social bios, most active on TikTok and Instagram. But I'll also make sure that in the chat sections, you have the other options as well momentarily. There you go. So if you want to support the channel, go ahead and check it out. And we will check you out there. There are options for Patreon as well as for Buy Me a Coffee. And I will see you in the next episode. Be sure to give a like, a follow if you're on Podbean. And if you're joining the show on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Hit the bell. That way you're notified about all future content on the channel. And I will see you bright and early Friday, 7 a.m.